Welcome to the fourth hour of the Hillbilly Hits Traditional Country Music Request and Dedication Show podcast. Hillbilly Hits is hosted by Tracy Pitcox, and it's in its third decade of providing traditional country music, the true heart of country music. Here is Tracy. Enjoy the show.
Hi, this is Tracy Pitcox with our final hour of our Loretta Lynn tribute show tonight. During this hour, we'll hear our final interview that we did with Loretta last year, plus a lot of her music as we honor the coal miner's daughter, Loretta Lynn, tonight.
Hello.
Hello, Loretta.
Darling, I knew it was you.
Loretta, there's something I've just got to tell you.
Oh, please. Tell me what to do.
I don't really know how to say this, but I want to tell you that
you gave me the will to go on. As soon as I picked up the phone.
No, you don't understand, Loretta. I'm trying to tell you that
the talk is around that we're through.
Yeah, I know. I've heard it too.
Oh, darling, tell me what to do.
But that's just it. That's what I'm trying to tell you. I want to tell you that.
I knew you'd tell me that we're wrong. As soon as I picked up the phone.
But it is true. They're not wrong.
Oh,
Loretta.
Loretta Lynn would join us for the final time for a special interview a year ago when Loretta had recently released a book called Me and Patsy, Kicking Up Dust. It was about her relationship with the great Patsy Cline. And, of course, at this particular time, she had some health issues. And so we focused a little bit about her current condition and her current health before we started talking about the book that she and her daughter Patsy had just released. So let's go back and hear the final conversation that we had with Country Music Hall of Famer Loretta Lynn. Always a pleasure to talk to the great Loretta Lynn. Loretta, how are you?
I am fantastic.
Well, you sound awesome today.
I'm great.
Well, I know
still
it's...
still writing the songs and carrying on, you know. As long as we can do that, we're all right.
You're exactly right about that. You know, you've had a health scare the last couple of years, and people always ask me, you know, how's Loretta getting along? And you've really come a long ways, haven't you?
I sure have, but what helps me out is my writing and being able to talk to you all.
Well, you've got fans all over the world, don't you?
Friends.
Yeah, there you go. There you go.
Yes, I do, and I love every one of them.
You've got a new book out that I'm so excited about.
Yeah, me and Patsy done that. My little girl that I named after Patsy.
Well, it's about Patsy Cline and your friendship with her.
Yeah.
Were you a fan of Patsy before you met her, Loretta?
Yes, I was.
What was it about Patsy that made you become a Patsy Cline fan?
She was a hard worker, and she was out there trying, you know, doing it. And she was working hard at it, and I like that.
No doubt about it, so... Do you remember the first time meeting Patsy?
Yes, I do. Well, the first time I met Patsy, I sang a song, I Fall to Pieces, for Patsy on the Ernest Tubb Record Shop.
Mm.
And she had had a wreck. Her brother had wrecked her car, and she almost died in that wreck.
Wow.
And I was singing on the Ernest Tubb Record Shop, and I sang I Fall to Pieces and dedicated it to Patsy. And she sent her husband to get me after the record shop. And Charlie came down and says, are you Loretta Lynn? I said, yes. And he says, Patsy wants to see you.
Mm.
And it tickled me to death, you know.
Yeah. Were you a little starstruck meeting her?
Oh, yes. I'm still starstruck when I see stars.
I ain't
no different than anybody else.
Well, that's true. You say in the book that you had an immediate bond with her.
Oh, yeah. We seemed to have known each other for a while, which we hadn't, but it seemed that way, you know. It seemed like we had known each other for a while, and that was a good thing.
Now, you were just starting in the business. Did she give you some advice?
Not really. I think I just took advice. I just wanted to be like her, and whatever she did on the stage, I'd do, you know. So she might as well have been telling me, you know. She was giving me advice for watching her.
I've got your picture that you gave to me, and it's signed with love, just like it used to be. The only thing new, I've got your picture, she's got you. I've got the records that we used to share, and they still sound the same as when you were here. The only thing new, I've got the records, she's got you. I've got your memory, or has it got me? I really don't know, but I know it won't let me be. I've got your class ring that proved you cared, and it still looks the same when you gave it, dear. The only got your class ring that proved you care. And it still looks the same as when you gave it, dear. The only thing different, the only thing new, I've got these little things she's got you. Well, a goodbye to Ben Clothesline. Goodbye, pots and pans. I'm gonna take a Greyhound bus as further as I can. I ain't gonna wash no windows, and I ain't gonna scrub no floors. And when you realize I'm gone, I'm gonna hear you roar, and you'll say, hey, Loretta, I love you more than the Irish said. Hardly speak, and all I ever get is a little kiss about once a week. So you can feed the chickens and you can milk the cow. This woman's liberation, honey, is gonna start right now, and you'll say,
hey, Loretta.
Pretty up my hair, and no one here is gonna know what I'll be doing there. I'll be swinging from the chandelier and bouncing off the wall. Instead of 11, just one man, I'm gonna love them all. And you'll say,
hey, Loretta,
I love you more than the Irish said.
Hey, Loretta,
don't leave me alone.
One of Loretta's favorites. Here's one called They Don't Make 'Em Like My Daddy Anymore.
I was much more than a baby. I thought he was a bear. The way my daddy carried me around. They said I learned to walk while holding on to just one finger on the hand of a man that stands 6'3". Meaning of depression, just something people talked about a lot. My daddy was the one that tried to make no big impression, just one heck of a man that worked for what he got. From the Johnson County coal camps to the hills of West Virginia, my daddy worked down in them dark coal mines. Education didn't count so much as what you had born in you, like the will to live and a dream of better times.
During our Loretta Lynn tribute tonight, taking a trip back to 1977 for a big hit that was written by Peggy Foreman and, of course, recorded by Loretta. This particular single stayed at number one for 2 weeks on the charts and a total of 11 weeks charting as well. It was recorded back in 1976 at Bradley's Barn. Great record called Out of My Head and Back in My Bed. Let's go back and hear a little bit more of that interview that we did with Loretta Lynn last year concerning her book called Me and Patsy, Kicking Up Dust.
There are a couple things you put in the book which I thought were kind of neat. You said that Patsy tried to teach you how to drive.
Yeah.
What kind of an experience was that, Loretta?
That's quite an experience. I don't think she knew herself. I think she was just trying to learn how to drive herself.
And also, I think she taught you how to shave your legs. Didn't you say that?
Oh, yeah, she taught me that. Got me in trouble. She got me in trouble every day about something. But we lived with it. We laughed about it, and we still laugh about it.
Well, she was also someone that you liked to hang out with other than just performing, but didn't you have a close relationship?
She's my friend. Yeah, we hang out. We talk on the phone. If we wasn't together, we was talking on the phone, you know.
Yeah.
About things, so it was like we were together all the time.
I thought it was really neat that, and I believe this too, that you mentioned that you think Patsy comes back to see you from time to time.
I do. I feel her, you know. I feel her more than anything else. I just know she's back trying to help me, you know. God love her.
Yeah. Well, at that time in the music business, the girls weren't quite as predominant as they are now. And you had a tough time in the beginning. And it was, I guess, people like Patsy that kind of helped show you the way.
That's right. I watched Patsy. She didn't talk to me about it. I just watched what she did, and I did what she done.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a big help.
You know, I was also thinking about, you were talking a little bit about Ernest Tubb. Of course, Ernest is from Texas, and everybody loved
him, too. Oh, yes, I learned a lot from Ernest Tubb, too. He was a great father.
You actually recorded some great duets with him, as
well. I sure did. We did a whole album together. Called Mr. and Mrs. Used to Be.
Now, did he pick you, or did you pick him to record with, Loretta?
I think me and him together did that. He wanted to record with a little new girl singer, and that was me, and I wanted to record with Ernest Tubb, because I loved him.
I think
There's been so many great stories related to Loretta Lynn and about her career and about her friendship with different artists and that sort of thing. You know, I don't think Loretta ever realized how huge she was. And T.G. Shepherd told a great story that I thought was wonderful. He said that he and Loretta were working a show for Walmart there in Arkansas for Mr. Sam Walton. And, of course, at that time, Sam was the richest man in the United States. And so T.G. was finishing up his show, and Loretta was on the bus, and she had curlers up in her hair. She was fixing her hair, and so T.G. was finishing up, and so I guess the manager went out and told Loretta she needed to hurry up because she was on next. And so Loretta relayed the message to tell Sam, who, as I mentioned, was the richest man in the United States, that he and everybody else was just going to have to wait because she was doing her hair. And so, as T.G. Shepherd said, that's what they did. They all waited for Loretta to do her hair, and she came out and performed for everyone.
What you'd have to say, afraid of the answers, I'm not taking any chances, I don't want to scare you away. Oh, so I lied. Oh, yes, I lied.
I Lie by Loretta Lynn was recorded back in 1982. She would follow that with other albums for MCA, including Making Love from Memory, Lying, Cheating, Woman, Chasing, Honky Tonk, and Whiskey Drinking You, Just a Woman. And then her final album for MCA was one called Who Was That Stranger? She recorded some more records after that, including a great record for Audium, also Interscope as well, before joining Patsy Russell, her daughter, and John Carter Cash in the recording studio, making some tremendous records around 2016. 2016, Full Circle was released, as well as a Christmas album called White Christmas Blue. Wouldn't It Be Great was released in 2018, and Still Woman Enough in 2021. She also received a lot of attention back in 2004 whenever she recorded an album called Van Leer Rose with Jack White. This particular song was recorded off of her Full Circle album. It's featuring Elvis Costello doing a little harmony work with Loretta on a song called Everything It Takes. In 2016, I had the idea to record a tribute CD to the great Kitty Wells. I had great admiration for Kitty, and Loretta and I had talked about Kitty Wells on many, many occasions throughout the last few years, and I really wanted Loretta to be a part of this particular project. And so I was going through the proper channels to go get a request to Loretta to see if she would be a part of our Kitty Wells tribute album. And, of course, you go through a lot of red tape for projects like that. And I happened to be on the bus with Loretta one time and mentioned it to her. And she was all for being a part of that CD. A few weeks later, I got a phone call from Loretta and her friend Rosie Hamilton. And Loretta was asking about the project, when we were going to record it and that sort of thing. And I asked her, I said, well, is it all right? Do you want to be a part of it? And she said, well, yeah, I already told you that I would do it. And she told me she wanted to record the song Searching, which was one of her favorite Kitty Wells songs. And so I had informed Justin Trevino, our producer of that particular project, that Loretta was going to record Searching. A couple of days later, she calls back and tells me that she's decided that she wanted to cut It Wasn't God Who Made Honky Tonk Angels, which she had recorded previously for MCA Records many years ago. And she just decided that was the first song she'd ever heard on the radio by a female artist, to Kitty Wells, a recording of that particular song. And so she wanted to contribute that particular song to the project. And I'm glad she did. Here's Loretta Lynn's version of It Wasn't God Who Made Honky Tonk Angels that I'm proud to say is on Heart of Texas Records. There's Loretta Lynn doing It Wasn't God Who Made Honky Tonk Angels, and I'll even add that Loretta was so kind to record that for us on our Heart of Texas Records label, and she would not take any compensation at all for that, which is just shows you what a great person that Loretta actually is. Speaking of that album called Wouldn't It Be Great, Loretta would record this song on a couple of occasions. And she personally told me that it was one of the favorite songs that she had done in her career. It was very meaningful to her, and she re-recorded it for Legacy Records. Here's Wouldn't It Be Great.
Wouldn't it be fun if you could say you love me just one time with a sober mind? Wouldn't that be fun? Now, wouldn't that be fine? Wouldn't it be great if you could love me first and let the bottle wait? Now, wouldn't that be great? Wouldn't that be great? Wouldn't it be great? Hey, hey, wouldn't that be great? Throw the old glass crutch away and watch it break. Wouldn't it be great? Hey, hey, wouldn't that be great? Lord, it's for our sake. Now, wouldn't that be great? Thinking of, in the name of love, what a man he was. to waste when my sexy lace couldn't turn his face. The bottle took my place. Love went to waste. Wouldn't it be great? Hey, hey, wouldn't that be great? Throw the old glass crutch away and I'll watch it break. Wouldn't it be great? Hey, hey, wouldn't that be great? Lord, it's for our sake. Now, wouldn't that be great? Wouldn't it be good? And I know you could if you just would. Wouldn't that be good? Lord, I know you could. Wouldn't it be great? Watch it break. Wouldn't it be great? Hey, hey, wouldn't that be great? Lord, it's for our sake. Now, wouldn't that be great? Now, wouldn't that be great?
Here's Loretta Lynn, one called Wouldn't That Be Great.
Well, your latest album is called Wouldn't That Be Great, and you wrote that song and recorded it a couple of times before, but you told me that that was a very important song to you, Loretta.
Yes, it was, and there's a song inside that album that was meant a lot to me, too. And I sang him to do just before he died.
Hmm.
And he smiled as if that's a hit, honey.
Wow.
You know.
So did he like all, did do like all your songs, Loretta?
He would always tell me that's a hit, honey. Yes, he did. He was a Loretta Lynn fan.
Yeah.
After I got started singing, I'd catch him listening to me on the radio.
Well, if it wasn't for, and you always say that if it wasn't for him, there wouldn't have been a Loretta Lynn.
There wouldn't have been no Loretta Lynn, but there wouldn't have been no him if there wasn't Loretta.
Yes. And I've got to mention, your little granddaughter, Taylor, has been with us working on a new record honoring you.
My little mean girl, mine. My little mean granddaughter.
That's right.
She's just like me.
You know, there's a lot of resemblance. There is a lot of resemblance. I see a lot of her, your personality in Taylor.
Yeah. Well, I raised her. And she's my girl.
Now, did you give her some advice yourself?
Oh, yes. Whether she took it or not, I give it to her.
That's great.
I'd tell her I'd whip her if she didn't.
Well, she is so proud of you, and when
I
she
does, love her so much.
When she does those shows, she gives you great respect, no doubt.
I know she does.
Yeah.
She loves me. She's a big fan of mine. She's one of my biggest fans.
Yes, she is. And I know that you're going. You're working on promoting your book now. But do you want to go back out on the road someday, Loretta?
I'm going to go back out. Yeah, I'm going. Go back out now and then. Not like I did.
Do you miss the fans?
I do miss them. I really miss them.
Well, I know they miss you too.
Well, I sure miss them.
And I got to say, personally, you know, I got my first little note from you when I was 15 years old here at the radio station, and met you when I was 18, and seen you every year for the last 30 years.
And I've got yours too.
And you've been so kind to me.
Well, you have me too, honey. That's vice versa here. You know, that's all we need is somebody to be nice to us.
Well, you've always treated me like I was Ralph Emery, and I appreciate that more than you'll ever know.
He was better than Ralph Emery.
Well, I love you, Loretta.
Ralph,
and I think
you're listening. It's the truth, buddy.
And I thank you for taking time with us this evening, and I appreciate it so very much, Loretta. And we look forward to seeing you back out on the road, honey.
Well, I'm going to be out there soon, darling, and maybe you'll be out there with me.
I want to be out
we
there
can
with you.
We take a little tour together here.
You just let me know and I'll come, okay?
Okay.
I love
have
you.
Have a good time, honey.
Thank you
I
for visiting you with us today, Loretta.
I love you too, sweetheart.
Someone that I love. He's somebody special.
as I've mentioned many times, Loretta was kind to me ever since I was 15 years old when I wrote her a first fan letter. And I wrote that letter to her, and she actually responded. At that time, I just started working here at KNEL Radio. And in the note she sent back to me, she gave me her manager, Lane Cross's, telephone number. And she said, if you're ever at one of my concerts, please get in touch with Lane and let him know so that that I can see you. I was 18 years old and went to Branson, Missouri, and Loretta was performing at the Lowe's Theater in Branson. I contacted Lane, and he took me backstage, and I sat waiting for Loretta to get off the bus and to come into the backstage area. And when she came in, she was wearing this beautiful purpled outfit, and she kind of bounced across the floor, and she came over to where I was at, and she hugged me and said, "I'm Loretta," as if I didn't know who she was. And that night, she made sure I had every tape that she had and a T-shirt that said, "I saw Loretta Lynn in Branson," that I still have today. And it started a great friendship. I would go see her two or three times a year and always enjoyed her performances. And she was always gracious to give me time before the show or after the show. And it was always a pleasure to get a chance to catch up with her. She was a frequent guest on our Hits Radio program, and I've got so many great memories of her personally. And I guess one of my fondest memories is actually going to her home for the first time there in Hurricane Mills, Tennessee. And she actually lived behind her big mansion. She had a house behind her mansion that she actually resided in. And that afternoon, I spent the afternoon with her and at her home. And she, as I came in, she was sitting on this leather couch. It was kind of a burgundy-type couch. And she had all of these Indian arrowheads around her, hundreds of arrowheads around her. She was wearing an old T-shirt. She had no makeup on at all. And she still looked just stunning, as always. And she would take up these arrowheads, and she would show me these arrowheads, and she would tell me a story about nearly every arrowhead that she was showing me, about which ones belonged to what chief and or what brave and what they were used for and that sort of thing. And I was always mystified at how she knew which arrowhead belonged to who. But we had a great time that day, and she showed me all through her house. And what I thought was so interesting at that time was that it was a beautiful, beautiful home, but it looked like a normal home. There were no awards all over the wall or nothing that would show you that she was a country music icon in the business. The only thing I remember her having there was she had one of Buck Owens' red, white, and blue guitars in her bedroom. And of course, she had a museum full of awards and everything else. But her home, and while I was there, she didn't want to focus on the music industry. We talked about arrowheads. We talked about canning. We talked about her growing up as a little girl in very hard times. And also remember that she had the biggest pot of beans I think I've seen on her stove that she was cooking that afternoon. But she was always kind to me, and I don't know exactly why, but I loved her and respected her so very much, and certainly appreciate what she has done for me throughout the years. And we're very honored to be able to still work towards her memory, especially with her granddaughter, Taylor Lynn, who has become an integral part of our organization as well. So she won't be forgotten by fans all over the world, and she certainly won't be forgotten by this little hillbilly disc jockey in Brady, Texas, who she was kind and befriended at a very early age. So God bless Loretta Lynn, and may her memory and her music continue to live on for many, many years.
In the eye of a storm, in the belly of a whale, my spirit stood on solid ground.
was a child, I cried until my needs were satisfied. My needs have grown up pound for pound. I'll be at peace when they lay me down.
When they lay me down someday, my soul will rise and fly away. This old world will turn around. I'll be at peace when they lay me down. This life isn't fair, it seems. It's filled with tears and broken dreams. There are no tears where I'm bound. I'll be at peace when they lay me down.
Thank you for listening to the Hillbilly Hits Traditional Country Music Request and Dedication Show, hosted by Tracy Pitcox. To listen live, tune in to KNEL 95.3 FM and knelradio.com on Thursday night starting at 6 p.m. Central Time. We look forward to you listening again.